Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Evident Footprints. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we have arrived at Super Tuesday on the East Coast. It is February the 5th, and on the West Coast, still February the 4th, and points in between are also along with me or just a little bit behind. No guests tonight. However, don't turn that dial. Don't touch that mouse. Don't change your volume except to maybe turn it up a little bit. Make sure you listen to tonight's broadcast. I am going to talk about quite a few things that I feel are important, and this message is tonight is going to be a combination of spirit and a lot of deep thought, backed by much prayer over the weekend. As most of you know, and my listeners have been not just listening to my show, but they listen to a lot of spiritual programming or, let's say, spiritual information. I don't like that word programming because it implies that you are following a particular method of thought that's designed to produce certain results in you, and that's not what this is about. That word is used kind of accidentally at times. So I prefer to call this a show because I'm showing you things, and much like you go to a show maybe to be entertained, hopefully this is more than entertainment. In fact, if I entertain, I like to do it with some humor or comedy or music. To me, that would be entertainment. Not the serious spiritual discussions, not political discussions or discussions about conspiracies, murder, organized crime, and the like. And that's what we're experiencing these days. It's evident to many people. In fact, no pun intended, this is Evident Footprints. It's evident to many people that the world is changing very rapidly. Time is speeding up. Already the month of January is gone, and by the time we realize it's gone, we're almost finished with the first week in February. It's difficult for me to keep my clocks synchronized, I notice. Generally, they used to keep very good time, especially in my computers. And I'm noticing that the atomic clock, and I wonder if that's even correct, is a bit behind, and my computers seem to be jumping ahead a little bit. My wristwatch does the same thing. The wall clocks do the same thing. It doesn't matter. Digital clocks, nothing seems to be running right. Well, everything is changing. The whole physical reality and the way we perceive it is changing on this planet. And despite the propagandized media telling us that we're going through global warming because we're driving SUVs. Of course, they never mention that jets are getting bigger and bigger every year or every couple of years when they come out with a new model. And you just wonder, what do they do with the old jets? Okay, they give them to other countries. They give them... sometimes they're converted into military planes. I'm sure they're recruited to transport drugs around the country. And we're going to talk about drugs tonight, along with some other things, because it seems to be the real cash cow on the planet. It's the cash cow for the TVs right now, the TV networks. When you watch television, if you watch television, take note of how many drug commercials, how many pharmaceutical commercials there are. And they're inventing diseases, they're inventing the names of diseases, they're telling you that something as simple as a headache could be caused by something biting at your little toe. and they've got a medicine for it. And you have to see your doctor, of course. You have to talk to your doctor about that. Many of these medicines are not approved through the means which they were 50 years ago. They're not tested, or they test them on a handful of children, and then when they're given to people, people have heart attacks, strokes, other disabilities. Some become paralyzed. Many die, and there's no accountability on the part of the drug companies. They have been able to manipulate your leaders to the point where they are exonerated, they are immune from prosecution and lawsuits because of their negligence. And that is not right. And that has to change. Now, that's part of the insanity, and that's what's driving or numbing and dumbing down society, is that so many people blindly listen to the media or blindly listen to their doctor, and I have to tell you, doctors don't know it all. There were many allopathic specialists that are way behind in their education. They're not privy to what these drugs are doing to people, and they're just prescribing them. They get a lot of money from the drug companies for doing that. Now, they need to make money, but they did take a Hippocratic oath, as many of you know, and those of you who don't know, they're sworn to bring about your health, to heal you from disease, yet that's not what they do. And that's not the intention of the drugs that that they prescribe, nor the drugs that the drug or the pharmaceutical manufacturers make. They're intended as toxins to cause further physical problems, further mental problems, and it's all part of a big agenda, planet-wide, to bring the population to its knees under the guise of what they want to call a new world order. Well, there's no order in what they're doing. It should be called new chaos or new underworld chaos, because it's all done according to the prescription of organized crime. And you have organized crime in the political arena, you have organized crime in the religious arena, you have organized crime in the banking and economic sector. And those people who are entrusted to really be our servants have become traitors. Now, Super Tuesday is now, and in a few hours people are going to go vote. And there are many people who are going to vote for a black man, be it Barack Obama or Albert Howard, and I mean nothing against any candidate because of their race, but there are people who, just because someone has black skin, are going to vote for someone with black skin. They are not aware of the game that's being played. They're not aware that the powers that be, and I'm talking about the shadow governments, the Illuminati, all of the secret organizations, the Freemasons, the Vatican, the Jesuits, Opus Dei, the OTO, and the Skull and Bones, and the Committee of 300, we can give them all kinds of names. But what these people are, if there even are people, if any of them are real people, and I'll say that one more time, if any of them are real people, human beings like us, then they are betraying the rest of humanity for a momentary, and I say momentary because everything on this planet is momentary or temporary, striving to enrich themselves at the cost of everyone else. They're building concentration camps all over the United States. There are underground bases and tunnels, and virtually every city, every large city in this country, in the United States, is connected by these tunnels. In fact, these tunnels reach all over the world. And you've heard it on other shows that talk about ufology or talk about the alien agenda, visitors from other realms. You've heard all of this. And yet the media does not report what's going on, so, and neither does the government. The government uses the most ridiculous excuses and explanations for all the phenomenon that are seen on a daily basis by millions of people. They're still lying to you. They're lying about the elections. The elections right now that we have, these primaries, are totally corrupt. The voting machines are corrupt. This was brought out in Aaron Russo's film in 2004. I believe it was in the state of Florida. There was a man who is now deceased who spoke before a federal judge and reiterated several times in front of the judge that it is possible to rig an electronic voting machine. Wake up, people. Now, the whole concept of even voting for someone means nothing when they are telling you who is winning, when it's not true, when they are telling you which candidate is most qualified, when it's not true, when they don't even tell you that secret societies like the Bilderbergers, for example, a conglomeration of wealthy people, the elite, as they like to call themselves, or the Illuminati, with the conspiracy of several major newspapers from around the world, and maybe a few token celebrities that they bring into the mix because they have money or they have some sort of public persona that they can use to manipulate the consciousness of the people, like they do with Britney Spears. I mean, the poor girl is on the verge of a nervous breakdown. She's on drugs. She can't even put on her underwear, and everybody's paying attention to her instead of the embezzlement of trillions of dollars or the fact that there's millions of people around the world being murdered senselessly by undeclared wars, wars which are really bank robberies, which are really further attempts to eliminate large numbers of people for satanic purposes or Luciferian purposes, as they like to call it. And even in our own country, we have lost thousands of people, such as on 9/11, and we are given these ridiculous explanations as to what happened. Absolutely ridiculous. A child would question the responses that the government has given us. And they like to say, well, this is conspiracy theory, which is a term that they use to suggest or imply that the person that says this is paranoid or delusional and has no idea what they're talking about. When, to the contrary, all the video evidence shows what's going on. There's quite a bit of new evidence coming out, by the way. There's a new 9/11 eyewitness video that came out recently. There are some collages of news broadcasts where numerous witnesses are saying there was no plane, there was a bomb that went off, and the building blew up from inside and out. In fact, you can see in many of the photos that the explosions are coming outward; they're not going inward. There's tremendous force being exerted in an outward fashion, blowing the building outward. And we're talking about combustible jet fuel, combustible, but not explosive. Now, when a large amount of fuel catches fire, it gets hot, but not enough to melt 47 support beams, which are 110 stories high. No way. Absolutely impossible. But to see them cut like a hot knife going through butter, to see beams symmetrically and timing-wise, split-second in synchronicity with each other, as floor after floor after floor after floor after floor goes down on one building, and the same procedure on the second one. And everybody says, oh, that's what happens when a plane hits. That's the first time a building has fallen down. Even when a plane runs into your house doesn't fall down. It damages part of the house. You may bring down part of the roof, but the whole house doesn't fall down. And we're talking about a single-story wooden house. Now there's an election going on, and they're pushing Hillary Clinton. They're shoving her down our throat, and they're starting now to shove John McCain down our throat. Why is that? Why is that? And I say to you, use your better judgment. Use your discernment. And I say this from a spiritual perspective. Look very carefully at these candidates. Consider what Bill Clinton did for 8 years in office. Consider the shame he brought to our country. Consider the shame he brought, not just because of the illicit sexual acts that he had performed on him underneath his desk in the Oval Office, but there were countless women that he had harassed. There were countless women that were chasing him around to get him into the courts, and all he did was lie. All he did was lie. And to say, I don't remember, I don't recall, I don't recall. It seems like I would recall that if that happened. I don't seem to remember. My memory is failing me right now. I just don't remember that happening. I don't remember. I don't remember. There's a tape Mark Levin played on ABC a couple of years ago, back in, I think he played it once last year, but it came from the depositions from the Paula Jones case. And he, for 2.5 minutes, you can hear him all the times he said, I don't remember, I don't recall. And this was the president of the United States suffering from Alzheimer's. So we must consider all the people and consider the possibility that the Clinton body count, Google that term, Google that phrase, the Clinton body count. Google that and watch all the names that come up, all the people that have died having been associated with Bill Clinton. Some of them famous. Ron Brown was famous. Had worked with Clinton and was not going to take the fall for Clinton. And a group of military officers and Ron Brown and of course the crew of the plane crashed. And it was, I'm sure the plane was sabotaged, just like JFK Jr.'s plane was sabotaged. He was going to run against Clinton. Hillary Clinton, or he was going to run for the presidency. He would have gotten either office had he run for Senate or for the presidency. He would have gotten it, and so they had to eliminate him. And they don't tell you that there was bomb residue found on the plane. They don't tell you the truth. And every time we have a major scandal or a major murder, an assassination, they form a commission so they can sweep it under the rug. They did this. They had a special prosecutor. Why not the regular police? Why not the FBI? Why doesn't the FBI investigate Vince Foster's murder? Why do they have to have a special prosecutor go in there and control, damage control everything? And they don't tell you the business relationships that these people have with each other and with other criminals. And I don't care that these people are prosecutors or judges. You shouldn't either. The whole country is getting railroaded through the legal system. They're so dishonest and so full of propaganda and mind control and brainwashing techniques. They themselves are delusional about it. They actually think that they can just lie to us and that we just swallow it hook, line, and sinker. You're about to make a decision, and you know, if everyone in the country voted for Ron Paul, Hillary Clinton will still get some votes because they can rig the machines. They can change the ballots. That's what's going on in New Hampshire. There's great corruption. If you were concerned about your vote, you would stay there and make sure that there was no hanky-panky going on. If you're voting on an electronic machine, you would be making sure that the vote is not changing and that you could get an actual receipt or a printout of your vote. That would be an honest way to carry on an election. If you cast your vote and you get a receipt, just like when you go to the grocery store. They show you if you buy toilet paper or if you buy coffee or butter or cheese or candy or soap. It's all on the receipt. Why can't they show you something as important as the result of a presidential election? Well, they can't do that and fix it at the same time, you see. And yet they constantly beat this drum about we're spreading democracy and freedom throughout the world. We're bringing freedom to Iraq, and we're bringing freedom. Well, they like to use the word liberty, actually. Liberty is not the same thing as freedom. It's permission to do something for a certain period of time. So they're spreading liberty and democracy. What is democracy? Is that what we have here? Is corrupt elections? Is that what they're spreading? Corrupt elections? And putting people in concentration camps and in prison for speaking out, for speaking the truth, while they rob the treasury and steal all the world's gold and make machines of war to murder people, murder their own people, while they make bombs to bring down skyscrapers and blame it on some cave-dwelling camel jockeys on the other side of the country or the other side of the world. These people are pathological. They're psychopaths. They're criminally insane is what they are. And you've got two people running right now. Hillary Clinton, I've talked many times, and I'll bring it up again, is dead center involved in the death of Vince Foster, for one thing. And I'm not the only one saying this. Many talk show hosts bring this point up, especially in the Patriot Network. She's involved in money laundering. She's a lesbian. She's married to Bill Clinton, but she has lesbian sex with her her aides, her associates, whomever she pleases. And this has been reported by Secret Service agents that guarded the White House when she was there. And it's seen in public. It's no big secret. These people flaunt this. I posted on my website a couple of nights ago. Actually, it was early Sunday morning. I posted some pictures that a friend had sent me of their recent celebration at a rally, at a campaign rally. And Chelsea Clinton was wearing an upside-down cross around her neck, hanging suspended from a chain. Upside-down cross. This was manufactured. The cross wasn't accidentally upside down. It was intentionally strung to a clasp upside down. Bill Clinton had on a pin, wearing a suit. I can't remember if it was a tuxedo. I think it was a tux. And on one of the breast lapels, or in the vicinity of the lapel, on the left side of his jacket, he's got a pin, which looked like it was a diamond. It was the symbol of Osiris, the all-seeing eye, like you have on the back of a dollar bill. It's an Illuminati, actually a satanic symbol, the same one used by CBS, by the way. The little thing they put down the corner, it looks like an eyeball. It says CBS in the center. You see, that's the subliminal way that they condition you to seeing these signs. By putting that out there, they get their satanic vibe in your living room or in your bedroom or wherever you're watching your television set. And to boot, now I didn't see anything that Hillary happened to be wearing that was particularly unusual, other than she was wearing a blood red outfit. And I mean blood red. And the American flag in one picture was a backdrop off to one side of the auditorium where they had this rally. Huge flag. Huge American flag. Didn't have the gold fringe on it, but what was interesting is someone took the time to take the patch off or just the stars and sew all the stars on the flag upside down. So that instead of having one point of the five-pointed star pointing at the top, they had two pointing upward, like horns, like devil's horns. These types of symbols demonstrate who these people are, totally. And you got people, I hear women, oh, I'm going to vote for Hillary. It's about time we get a woman in office. You would wish you had a man before you put her in office. Guaranteed. But for whoever you're going to vote for. And we still have that other scenario where they can just manipulate the vote like they want, like they're doing right now, in fact. Albert Howard, who happens to be a black man from Michigan, is running on the GOP ticket. Anyone hear his name before? He paid $55,000 to have a recount in New Hampshire. And now they have this secret, private little way that they pass the added up tally to someone who checks it and uses the same color ink as the first person, and then they pass the paper on. Well, Albert Howard asked to see the tally before it ended up in the second person's hands to check, so that he could check the figures. After all, a recount is, you know, this is supposed to be public information. This is being kept from the public. In fact, they're manipulating the information. You know, if you do that with money or you do that with checks, that's called forgery. That's felony. And they're definitely committing state and they're committing local, state, and federal crimes in this corruption. And they just do it. The boxes are split open. The boxes are unsealed. You can seal and remove the tape and reseal it and remove it and reseal it over and over again. It's a magic tape that they're using. And they witness the boxes being put into state highway patrol cars. This is in New Hampshire. And arriving where the recount was taking place under the jurisdiction of the Secretary of State, William Gardner, and I think his deputy secretary is David Scanlon. And this guy, or Scanlon or Stanton, one of the two, I think it's Scanlon. He is, I'm told, the one behind all of this, the manipulation of everything. They've given him the responsibility to change these figures and to be a wrench in the work, so to speak. It took 20 days for this recount to take place. And Albert Howard has been hand-delivering his requests to them because they can always say, oh, you sent it in the mail, it must have got lost. We didn't get it. So he's hand-delivering these communications to them, asking for accountability in the whole procedure. And there's a film. In fact, you can go to my website and see the film. I have the film of the recount and some of the anomalies. When you see the pictures of the boxes, you won't believe this. The box is smashed at the top. The tape is humped up in the air, 3 or 4 or 5 inches of tape not even touching the box, and then they have a piece of scotch tape holding the end down, as if that prevented someone from box. They can add ballots, they can take ballots out, they can exchange the ballots, and they had extra blank ballots available to them, too. So they can completely change the ballots, like Mayor Daley used to do in Chicago. I'm speaking about the senior. For years. And after he had died, they found a whole warehouse full of ballot boxes. From the floor to the ceiling, huge warehouse, just filled with ballots. There had been so many corrupt elections. Nothing's done about it. People don't, they're stupid. We have short memories, folks. And it's time we start waking up and using them. Now, I can't imagine, based on what I said about Hillary Clinton, and this isn't bash Hillary Clinton night, because I can bring these points out about every candidate running. They all have skeletons in their closet. I haven't found the ones Ron Paul has yet. The only thing I can tell you is that he's delivered over 4,000 babies and not one of his patients ever sued him for malpractice or for incompetence. They're all happy with his services. Hillary Clinton received a $1.2 million contribution from Peter Paul, no relation to Ron Paul, back in 2000. Peter Paul threw a big event to induce Bill Clinton to join or act as a public personality to front a media company he had started with Spider-Man writer Stan Lee. And with a $500,000 investment in a very short period of time, Peter Paul was able to grow that media company to the tune of $300 million. Very short amount of time. Yes, Peter Paul had a criminal record. In fact, I spoke with him Sunday afternoon. He was very gracious, and I asked him about his conviction, and basically he told me that it had something to do with coffee and Castro. And without going into all the details, basically he hadn't committed a crime, but he was on the verge, or could have. And so they were trying to charge him with trading with the enemy. And then they tried to make it a crime that he was trying to hurt Castro financially. And he was a young man at the time, he had told me. He was a hot lawyer. He was representing many, many well-known figures from South America. And they also pinned a drug charge on him. Someone planted some drugs in his garage. And about 30 minutes after the drugs were planted, they went in to arrest him. So it was a setup. He couldn't get away from the fact that these drugs were on his property, but someone had put it in his garage. And he said it was really over this Castro thing. Now, we know that our own government, George Bush, has a history of issues involving defectors from Cuba and starting up an army to go in there and take out Castro. We heard about the Bay of Pigs, and then subsequently he was involved in the assassination of President John F. Kennedy as well, and many, many other world leaders. You think it was an accident that Manuel Noriega ended up coming to the United States to go to prison, and that he was a drug dealer? It doesn't matter what the party is, folks. It has everything to do with the man and the issues. And it's not about the color of the skin or their gender. I happen to think Ron Paul is a very viable candidate. And I also happen to think that Albert Howard is a viable candidate. But he doesn't have the name recognition. But if you hear the man speak, he speaks intelligently. He speaks like someone who's qualified to lead a country, not corruptly, not to be part of a worldwide organized crime ring that's bent on destroying this generation now, bent on destroying the children. They've turned kids into a sex slave trade, and they bankroll it with drug money. They put border guards in prison for apprehending drug dealers, yet they're the biggest drug dealers. the president himself and his former governor brother are known to have flown Barry Seal's drug plane. And they have this on film. Many, many times. He's a pilot. He flew the SEAL's plane and transported drugs. That's what these people do. Oh, yeah, they masquerade that they're running the country. They're running the country into the ground is what they're doing. They're bringing the country to its knees. They're trying to destroy the middle class. Where do these people get the audacity and the gonads to say that they're going to blend or amalgamate Mexico and Canada? Where the hell did that come from? And there are people that are just totally oblivious to this stuff. And you think the Clintons aren't behind it? Bill Clinton set it up when he set up NAFTA, when he gave away or sold military and nuclear and technological secrets to China many years ago. The guy, all he did was snort cocaine and smoke pot and have sex with other men's wives or the interns. And anyone that stood in his way got killed. And the same with his wife. There are numerous stories. Google the Clinton body count. If you doubt the stories about the sex scandals, Google the Franklin cover-up. Go to my website, and you can see for free the movie Conspiracy of Silence. It's posted there. Go to directlightproductions.com and click on videos. There's a video that Michael from New York sent me today. You know, you would think I would have seen this. It's in Ohio. Stark County Sheriff's arrested a woman by the name of Hope Steppy. She had been assaulted by her cousin, and when she asked someone to call the police, the sheriffs came and arrested her and strip-searched her. And I've got two videos on my website about that. It's disgusting what's going on. And these are law enforcement officers. And I'm embarrassed that they're from my home state of Ohio. But the plan here is to militarize these people. These are no longer law enforcement officers. City ordinance policemen or cops. These have been turned into monsters. And we're not talking about women officers alone strip searching this woman. There were two men watching the whole thing. It's all on tape. It's on my website. You can look at it. This is what you're going to have more of this if you don't bring some sanity to what's leading this country. I thought I would read something for you quickly here. This was an article that came from tothepointnews.com. How the Clintons Will Destroy John McCain, written by Dr. Jack Wheeler on the 31st of January this year. The number of fellow senators who think John McCain is psychologically unstable is large. Some will admit it publicly, like Thad Cochran, who says, "The thought of his being president sends a cold chill down my spine." Others relate times when McCain screamed four-letter obscenities right in their faces in the Senate cloakroom, like Dick Shelby, Rick Santorum, or Jim Inhofe. "The man is unhinged," one senator told me. "He is frighteningly unfit to be commander-in-chief." That John McCain is clinically nuts is scary enough. What worries a small group of GOP senators and congressmen even more is a deep and dark skeletal secret in McCain's glorified past to which they are privy and which the Clintons will use to blackmail him. They have been having discussions with a Russian whom we'll call T for translator. T's father was the Soviet military intelligence officer who ran the Hanoi Hilton prison holding captured Americans during the war. One of those prisoners was John McCain. The GRU, or Glavnoje Razvedivatelnoje Uprav Lenije, and I apologize for slowing that down, but I think I said it right, or Main Intelligence Directorate of the Soviet, now Russian, Armed Forces, operated the entire North Vietnamese prison system holding American prisoners of war. GRU officers, all of whom were Russians, oversaw the interrogation of every American POW. The interrogations themselves were conducted by Vietnamese who spoke some English. After each interrogation session, which could often include torturing the prisoners at the direction of the GRU officers, the Vietnamese interrogator would write a report of the session in Vietnamese. These reports had to be translated into Russian. T, a bright teenager living in the GRU compound in Hanoi, had become fluent in Vietnamese and ended up translating many of the reports and interrogators' notes. John McCain, flying his A-4 Skyhawk, was shot down over Hanoi on October 26, 1967. Badly injured from the ejection, he was beaten and abused by his captors. In July 1968, his father, U.S. Navy Admiral J.S. McCain, was made CINPAC, that's Commander-in-Chief, Pacific Command, command of all U.S. military forces in the Vietnam theater. Upon learning this, the Vietnamese offered, according to McCain, to release him. McCain claims he refused because he demanded all American POWs captured before him be released as well. He thus remained a prisoner when he could have gone home and was subjected to constant brutal beatings and torture for years. That is the source of the war hero saga, making McCain a greater war hero than any other American POW. Yet, the officer of release would had to have been approved by the GRU. The offer of release would have had to have been approved by the GRU overseers of the North Vietnamese, and T does not recall any such offer being made. T admits, however, that this took place before McCain was transferred to Hoa Loa Prison, nicknamed the Hanoi Hilton by POWs. Had only direct knowledge of what happened at Hoa Loa and not the other prisons where T's father was in charge. McCain was kept at the Hanoi Hilton from December 1969 until his release, along with all the remaining POWs in March of 1973. During this time, T translated all the Vietnamese interrogators' notes and reports regarding John McCain. According to T, they reveal that McCain had made an accommodation with his captors, and in exchange, T's father saw that he was provided with an apartment in Hanoi and the services of two prostitutes. Upon returning to his prison cell, he would say he had been held in solitary confinement. That may be why so many of his fellow prisoners later said they saw so little of him at Hoa Loa. The notes and reports written in Vietnamese were sent to Moscow, where T was now a college student, for T's translation into Russian, then placed into GRU archives. That's where they stayed until 1991. Late that year, as the Soviet Union was collapsing, the CIA and the GRU made a deal for a document swap. All of what is involved, T doesn't know. What T's father, by now retired but still with substantial contacts with the GRU, did learn, and thus T learned, was that the swap included all of T's translations. In other words, the CIA has in its possession the notes and reports of John McCain's interrogators at the Hanoi Hilton in both the original Vietnamese and translated Russian, showing collaboration with his communist captors. Allegations of this nature have been made over the years, many by Vietnam veterans. There is even an organization, Vietnam Veterans Against McCain, at http://tinyurl.com/3BAPNB. But they are based on suspicions and circumstantial claims. There has never been any hard direct evidence. What T says the CIA has is such evidence. Its release would destroy McCain. The threat of its release could force McCain to take a fall, blow the election, and lose on purpose. And just who do you suppose would know what the CIA has and work with them to release it? Someone who has been a CIA asset since he was recruited by London Station Chief Cordmire while a student at Oxford in 1968. Something I alluded to several months ago on this Evident Footprint show. Also in relation to his college professor at Georgetown. Back in the 90s, years after he retired, if Cord drank a little too much scotch, he would laugh derisively at those conspiratorialists who accused Bill Clinton of being connected with the KGB. They all darkly point to Bill's participation in anti-war peace conferences in Stockholm and Oslo, and his trip to Leningrad, Moscow, and Prague while he was at Oxford. Who could have paid for this, they ask. It had to be the KGB, they claim. Cord would shake his head. What rot. We paid for it. We recruited Bill the first week he was at Oxford. Bill's been an asset of the three bad words ever since. Cord passed on in 2001. Now, the small group of senators and congressmen who have been briefed by T have been unable to confirm with the CIA any details of its document swap with the GRU beyond an admission that such a swap may have happened. They are very nervous about pursuing the matter any further. I wonder why. The Clintons are not nervous. They are utterly ruthless and have buddies at Langley all too happy to help them. It has been noted many times here in To the Point that while most folks think the CIA is a right-wing outfit, it is not. The CIA has been dominated by left-wing hyper-liberals for years. The CIA is a left-wing liberal outfit, and its main job for some time now is not attacking America's enemies, but conservatives in general and George W. Bush in particular. The story is best told by friend Ken Timmerman in his new book, Shadow Warriors. When the time is right, the Clintons will see the leaking of the GRU archives on McCain to the media. Oh, see to it. Bet on it, just as you can bet that they'll follow it up with media disclosures of the lady lobbyists in Washington having adulterous affairs with McCain. There are at least three of them. I know the name of one, but I'm not going to put it in writing. Maybe McCain will try to fight back by confirming Hillary's well-known bisexuality and her lesbian affair with her beautiful assistant, Huma Abedin. Google Hillary and Huma Abedin, and you'll get almost 6,000 hits. Turns out Huma is a Muslim who grew up in Saudi Arabia and is strongly suspected of working for Saudi intelligence. Or maybe he'll capitulate to Clinton blackmail. You never can tell what a psychologically unstable guy will do. And that last point is why, be prepared for this, folks. I would not in any circumstances vote for John McCain, not if either Hillary or Obama were the alternative. Evil is safer than crazy. Lefty amateur inexperience is safer than crazy. So I agree with Ann Coulter, who says, I'd rather deal with President Hillary than with President McCain. With Hillary, we'll get the same ruinous liberal policies with none of the responsibility. How in the world can the Republican Party get saddled with a nutcase whack job who knows nothing about economics, is so anti-capitalist he uses profit as a term of derision, has never run a business or had any job outside of government, will raise taxes, is so stupid that he believes stopping global warming is worth destroying the American economy, won't drill ANWR, won't appoint strict constructionist justices, won't protect marriage, will give amnesty to 20 million illegal aliens, beloved by the New York Times, and lives in a delusionary world of vanity and rage. Now, I'm going to stop there because he starts supporting Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter, and I'm also not promoting Hillary Clinton. I want to make that perfectly clear. He's pointing out Bill Clinton, and he's ignoring the fact that Hillary Clinton is probably Bill Clinton's handler. She's got CIA connection. She is Jewish, by the way, and I say Jewish in the sense that she is a Zionist. She's pretending that she's a Judeo-Christian. These people pretend that they're Christians. That's another side of the coin here worth looking at. I've not heard one bit about Jesus Christ come out of McCain's mouth, but also I don't hear that come out of the Clintons' mouths either. But they talk about money, and Hillary Clinton is on tape accepting $1.2 million from Peter Paul. You can go to my website and see the trailer. You can go to hillcap.com. Hillcap.com is a site that Peter Paul set up where you can look at documentation as to what's going on there. And the media is trying to cover this up. We still have a voice, and as long as I have a voice, I will be bringing things like this to you. Now, what does all this have to do with the election? Well, now, since I've painted two people with a pretty broad brush and in a very dark sort of way, I've pointed out a lot of inconsistencies or a lot of criminal history, at least alleged criminal history, behind who they are. Now, I can't say the same thing about Barack Obama, but out of nowhere, he catapults himself into a very powerful political position, literally out of nowhere. And so he's had to have been put in by someone with a bigger agenda. Is the clue in his middle name, Muhammad? And I'm not saying that a president has to be a Christian to be an effective president, but there are illustrations that he has ties to Israeli intelligence. And so you're going to put an intelligence agent from another country? And that's the same with any of the three candidates that I've just mentioned. Mitt Romney is a business partner of George Herbert Walker Bush, the guy who controls the drugs, the guy who controls the oil, the guy neck deep, if not chin deep, in the pharmaceutical companies, and into shipping and every corrupt action around the world. He's the one that made the proclamation of the New World Order before the UN. So if you're going to vote, whether your vote is actually going to even register or not, or it's going to be changed, if you're going to vote for someone, please make a vote based upon some diligence. Now, it's a bit late for me to talk about that because you're going to be voting in a few hours, but talk to people you know. Talk to your family. Talk to your friends. It is not an accident that a grassroots following is building up supporting candidate Ron Paul. It's not an accident. And we can experience some miracles and turn our country around. But if you don't care about your country and are going to make an uninformed vote on the basis of the color of someone's skin or what's between their legs, you're voting for the wrong reason. You really are. And you're doing your country a disservice. You're doing your family and your friends a disservice. And most of all, you're doing yourself a disservice. Now, as the events unfold about the corruption in the election, and there were complaints in every state, folks. I heard that, I just heard this evening that at two separate rallies. There was a Mitt Romney rally and then a Ron Paul rally, and there were three times as many people at the Ron Paul rally as the Mitt Romney rally. And this is in the Denver area. Now, that should be as good as an exit poll, you would think, to see the supporters of each candidate at their particular rallies in the same town. Let's see what Ron Paul's vote, how it measures up to Mitt Romney tomorrow. And I guarantee you, if it doesn't show that same proportion, then there's hanky-panky there, too. And we've got 22 states across the United States that are voting. And if you hear this message, by all means, take to heart what I'm saying. I think politics is very dirty. It can be disgusting. It's as unfair as the legal system. After all, politicians are the ones making the laws. What do you expect? And we're finding out through my research and through research of many other journalists and people who really are getting to the bottom of all of the corruption, that this has been going on for a long, long time, and is quite different from what we were taught in school. We were intentionally lied to in school. You have to come to grips with that. Once you can come to grips with that fact, then you can free yourself and you can begin to understand the way it really is. Our country doesn't have to fall, but it's their intention to make it do that, to bring us all down so that they can clean up. We give so much importance to those with money. And remember, money is made out of thin air in this country. Thin air. Oh, yes, it's on paper. But the numbers, they use the same ink to make the ones as they do the thousands or the billion-dollar bills. And I've seen some billion-dollar bills. Same ink. Think about that. Thank you for listening to the show tonight. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Michael Anthony. And we're going to talk about, I'm sure, the election and what is going on, some spiritual things. We may even have a discussion about herbs. In the meantime, vote carefully. Vote once, not 80 times like what we saw in the videos. Vote once, but vote your conscience and stick behind that. If you can do that and go to bed at night, then Godspeed. In the meantime, good night, peace, love, and light. Thank you.